Hello, and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan Podcast. My name is Tim Sanderlin, and today is the day after Christmas, December 26th, 2021. Right now, we are going through our Advent devotional guide, which is based on the book of Jeremiah. Each day during this series, we'll be reading a portion of the book of Jeremiah, and you'll also hear my thoughts on the passages read aloud from the Advent guide. You can find a hard copy of the Advent guide here at the church, and if you have one, you'll see at the beginning of this section, it is called Judgment and Hope for the Nations, and there is a word here that helps us understand the section of scripture we're about to get into, so I thought I would read that for us today. At the end of Jeremiah, we read oracles of judgment for the nations surrounding Judah. God uses some of these nations to punish his people, but this doesn't mean these nations will escape punishment for their own iniquities. The nations unknowingly are God's servants, used to accomplish his purposes. These words of judgment might seem harsh, but they give us hope by reminding us that God knows the suffering of his people, that he cares about injustice, and that no sin is hidden from him. He is just and righteous and will have the final word. These words of judgment also give us hope because they remind us that God keeps his promises. He will preserve his people. As we celebrate Christmas and turn our eyes to Christ, we wait for his return as expectant people, looking forward to the day when he will come in victory to judge the earth, when sin, death, and the grave will be defeated, and when he will have the last word over evil forever. Our scripture today comes from Jeremiah 46. So if you have your scripture, will you read with me? This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning the nations. This is the message against the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was defeated by Carchemish on the Euphrates River by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. It says this, "Prepare your shields, both large and small, and march out for battle. Harness the horses, mount the steeds, take your positions with helmets on. Polish your spears, put on your armor. What do I see? They are terrified, they are threatening, their warriors are defeated. They flee in haste without looking back, and there is terror on every side," declares the Lord. "The swift cannot flee, nor the strong escape. In the north of the river Euphrates, they stumble and fall. Who is this that rises like the Nile, like the rivers of surging waters? Egypt rises like the Niles, like rivers of surging waters. She says, I will rise and cover the earth. I will destroy cities and their people. Charge, you horses. Drive furiously, you charioteers. March on, you warriors, men of Cush and Put who carry shields, men of Lydia who draw the bow. But that day belongs to the Lord Almighty, the day of vengeance for vengeance on his foes. The sword will devour till it is satisfied, till it has quenched its thirst with blood. For the Lord God Almighty, will offer sacrifice in the land of the north by the river Euphrates. Go on up to Gilead and get balm, virgin daughter Egypt. But you try many medicines in vain, there is no healing for you. The nations will hear of your shame, your cries will fill the earth. One warrior will bow, stumble over one another, both will fall down together." This is the message the Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet about the coming of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to attack Egypt. "Announce this in Egypt and proclaim it in Migdol. Proclaim it also to Memphis and Tahpanhes. Take your positions and get ready, for the sword devours those around you. Why will your warriors be laid low? They cannot stand, for the Lord will push them over. They will stumble repeatedly, they will fall over each other. They will say, 'Get up, let's go back to our own people and our native lands, away from the sword of the oppressor.' There they will exclaim, 'Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is only a loud noise. He has missed his opportunity.' As surely as I live, declares the King, whose name is the Lord Almighty, one will come who is like Tabor among the mountains, like Carmel by the sea. Pack your belongings for exile, you who live in Egypt, for Memphis will be laid waste and lie in ruins without inhabitant. Egypt is a beautiful heifer, but a gadfly is coming against her from the north. The mercenaries in her ranks are like fattened calves. They too will turn and flee together. They will not stand their ground, for the day of disaster is coming upon them. The time for them to be punished is now. Egypt will hiss like a fleeing serpent as the enemy advances in force. They will come against her with axes like men who cut down trees. They will chop down her forest, declares the Lord, dense though it be. They are more numerous than locusts, and they cannot be counted. Daughter Egypt will be put to shame, given into the hands of the people of the north. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, I am about to bring punishment on Amon, god of Thebes, on Pharaoh, on Egypt, and her gods and her kings, and on those who rely on Pharaoh. I will give them into the hands of those who want to kill them, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and his officers. Later, however, Egypt will be inhabited as in past times, declares the Lord. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel. I will surely save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and security, and no one will make him afraid. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, for I am with you, declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only in due measure. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. When I was young, my family would make an annual trip to my mother's alma mater, Berry College. If you've ever seen Berry College, or even pictures of it, my best way to describe it is a real-life Hogwarts. If that is an inadequate metaphor, then know this. It has over 27,000 acres of property, an operational cattle farm, a working water wheel, and underground tunnels. As a kid, it can seem like a world of its own, exciting and intimidating all at once. In the fall of 2008, we accidentally left my brother behind when we were leaving Berry College. Now, please know that this was purely an accident, and he has never let us forget it either. We had a buddy system in place, someone forgot to check for David, but nonetheless, we returned for him swiftly. I can imagine his panic at the moment, however. As I have felt this before, I know the thoughts that probably ran through his head. Do they know they left me? When will they realize I'm gone? How do I find them? Who will come looking for me? The feeling of being forgotten is one that can leave a wound or damage trust in most any relationship. God's words towards his people of Judah can certainly seem like he has washed his hands of them and is planning to move on to another group of people, ones that might prove to be more faithful. The destruction of Judah, the defeat of Israel, and the dispersion of the people make it appear as though the fate of God's people is sealed. Just when you start to see this possible and justified end, the Lord reminds his people of his character. God is a faithful God. God, who is like no other God, holds steadfast love towards others and shows compassion towards the brokenhearted. Yet he will by no means clear the guilty. God will punish the nations surrounding Judah for their sins, including the nation of Egypt. This prophecy will come to pass when Nebuchadnezzar later attacks Egypt. God will again use Babylon to accomplish his purposes. The hope in this passage is that God doesn't forget his people. He doesn't forget the injustices they have experienced, and he doesn't forget his promises. Even as God's people see the fruit of their own venomous labor because they did not take care of the least of these, and so must be held accountable, they also experience his care and compassion as he draws near to the meek and downtrodden, which will one day be God's people themselves. God draws near, and God brings judgment on the nations who have oppressed Judah, including Egypt. Just as the people of Judah are being cast aside and might feel forgotten by their father, he draws near. He cannot help but be near to those who are poor in spirit. God does not come back, for he never left. It is the meekness and humility of his people, however, that has made his spirit ever clearer to them. God does not forsake his people, and he does not forget.